Hare Krishna, my apologies for not being able to send you a podcast yesterday from Tirupati. Two reasons. One is I was incredibly busy in meetings all day and then one even in the evening, and simultaneously catching up on some preparatory work. The other is that the internet here is weak, especially when it comes to sending things, and I don't know how successful I'm going to be to actually send these podcasts, but I'll try, and that's why I'm doing it early in the morning, because it may take me the whole day to upload them. Anyway, let's see what happens. Just before I came to Hungary, I had a discussion with some aspiring disciples, and at that time Shavihar was also there, addressing Dhani Tagore Hari, and according to him and the disciples I was talking to, they were sort of surprised by what I had said. They said that they hadn't heard it before. I'm quite sure that it's something that I've discussed before, but in any case, just for the sake of further clarity, I thought it was worth a podcast. And this was, the subject was a specific duty of the disciple in accepting a spiritual master. In other words, what does a disciple do during that trial period where he's investigating or developing a relationship with a spiritual master? What does it mean to actually develop a relationship with the spiritual master, or to observe each other? Disciple observes spiritual master observes the disciple. So, in short, my recommendation was that a disciple is meant to at least get an idea of the level of spiritual advancement of the perspective of a spiritual master, of the Vaishnava that he's going to accept as a spiritual master, and have faith in that prospective spiritual master, that he's a representative of Krishna. Observing the spiritual master and trying to assess his spiritual qualifications is not a small thing, and therefore the duty and responsibility of the disciple is to study Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully, wherein he'll see that Srila Prabhupada generally talks of four different categories of spiritual masters: Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari, and the eternally liberated soul. Prabhupada states in the Bhagavatam that generally a spiritual master has descended from the Loka Vrindavan and is an eternal associate of Krishna. However, that does not mean that all spiritual masters, or someone who is a spiritual master, is a eternally liberated soul and is descended from Goloka Vrindavan. I certainly know that I'm not one of those spiritual masters. I'm not an eternally liberated soul, and I have not come from the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada says that for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, and because there's such a great need for spiritual masters, and because those spiritual masters who descend from the spiritual world are so rare, therefore devotees who are less than Mahabhagavatas can also accept. Indeed, in the Upadeshamrita, then Prabhupada says that Uttama Adhikaris, Madhyama Adhikaris, and Kanishtha Adhikaris. Kanishtha Adhikaris means those who are still in the level of anartha nivritti, Madhyama Adhikaris who are at the stage of Nishtha, and Uttama Adhikaris in the stage of Ruchi and Asakti. They can also accept disciples, provided that they follow the example and the teachings of their own spiritual master, and in this case Srila Prabhupada is our founder Acharya and Mahabhagavata, very carefully. Particularly Srila Prabhupada says that it's recommended that one accept a Uttama Adhikari out of these, and the Kanishtha and Madhyam can also be accepted, but then the disciple has to be aware that they may not be so capable in giving spiritual guidance, spiritual for the disciple's spiritual advancement. So this is the duty of a disciple, and Prabhupada states in that same purport, it's the duty of a devotee to know the qualities of these different levels of devotees, Krishneti, Asipiti, Sam, and Asadriyeta, to be able to analyze them. You should not be lazy. We should not be lazy in regard to the responsibility that we have as disciples to accept a spiritual master. Therefore, better not to rush the whole thing. If one is not sufficiently educated, he should first be properly educated and then make the commitment and make the choice. There is a tendency amongst the devotees, and it's not just amongst devotees, but it's also, I think, a institutional malaise where devotees think that because someone is a guru, that automatically means that he's a Mahabhagavata. And therefore, I don't have to do anything else. I have no other responsibility. Everything has already been pre-digested for me. But no, what ISKCON's system is that the devotees acting in the capacity of Diksha Gurus, they are devotees in good standing. And whether they're Kanishtha Adhikaris, Madhyama Adhikaris, or Uttama Adhikaris, that we make no particular statement on. And let me then correct myself. Remember some months back, I made a podcast on a GBC resolution which states certain qualities or qualifications of a Diksha Guru, such as that he's free from sensual attraction, sex desire. Obviously, that was not necessarily the case for the gurus who succumbed to sensual attraction or sex desire and fell down from their vows of celibacy. So devotees need to take responsibility themselves and need to observe, live with, hear from, interact with, render service to their prospective spiritual master so that they're actually clear about what general level of advancement my spiritual master is at, and that they can also see that prospective spiritual master's sincerity in advancing forward in Krishna consciousness, and that the sincerity awakens within devotees the real faith that, yes, I can give myself to this person at whatever level of advancement he is in Krishna consciousness, and I can see him as Sakshatari, as the representative of Krishna. He may not be Sakshatari in the sense that he's on the same transcendental platform as Lord Krishna, but if he strictly follows his eternally liberated guru, Srila Prabhupada, or if he follows the example of our eternally liberated founder, Acharya, through his parampara, which I see him doing, then I feel that I can fully surrender myself and give myself to him. So that's the duty and responsibility of the disciple, and that's what it means that the disciple should observe the spiritual master. And I brought up this point here at this podcast because I thought it was an interesting and valuable point, and the devotees who I spoke to had said that it was something that they had not really heard. So I hope that now they are able to hear, and the devotees who are in a position of accepting spiritual masters, that then they can also make an effort to appropriately educate themselves and use that education in their interaction with their prospective gurus for their own spiritual advancement and the service of the society. Hare Krishna.